You're listening to Pastor Stephen G. Lightfoot's podcast, Sermons and Homilies by the Reverend Stephen G. Lightfoot. Pastor Stephen is an ordained elder in the Global Methodist Church and serves as senior pastor to First Methodist Church Splendora and Shepherd Methodist Church in Southeast Texas. Here is today's episode. So this is the last Sunday in the season of Pentecost. Next Sunday is the Feast of Christ the King Sunday. And then the Sunday after that is the first Sunday of Advent. Time just keeps moving forward. More and more these days, the weeks fly by. And we're in an interesting place, I have to say. Our gospel message today from Mark chapter 13 talks a little bit about where we are. Jesus is speaking to his disciples and they have questions, and Jesus, of course, has answers to those questions. And the thing about Scripture is when Jesus speaks to the disciples, he speaks to all the disciples, the few gathered around him, but also the hundreds of thousands around the world even today, because his words are not stationary in time. His words are eternal, dynamic, alive. In fact, he is the Word. And so listen to what Jesus tells us in Mark 13. He's talking about things to come. As he was going out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Teacher, look, what wonderful stones and what wonderful buildings." And Jesus said to him, "Do you see these great buildings? Not one stone will be left upon another, which will not be torn down." As he was sitting on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew were questioning him privately. "Tell us, when will these things come about? And what will be the sign when all these things are going to be fulfilled?" And Jesus began to say to them, "See to it that no one misleads you. Many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and they will mislead many. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. Those things must take place. But that is not yet the end. For nation will rise up against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will also be famines. These things are only the beginning of birth pains." This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Glory to you, Lord Christ. And so when we hear Jesus' words in this passage from Mark, we hear a story of impending destruction. This beautiful temple built to the glory of God will be torn down so that not a single stone will be left one upon the other. And as we look back in history, we see that that statement was absolutely true. The beautiful temple, torn down. Jesus says there will be wars and rumors of wars. There will be earthquakes, natural disasters, famine, plague, sickness, death, Persecution, imprisonment, betrayal by family and friends, executions, and all manner of injustice done against God's righteous people. False prophets and teachers, intent on deceiving the people and leading them down paths that lead to destruction and spiritual death. It's a bleak outlook for humanity for those without Christ as Lord. You see, there will be a movement of people marching toward captivity, all in step. They're marching toward captivity and bondage. Some may be being dragged against their will, but some because they don't know what it is they're doing or where it is they're being led, and still they march. Ignorance is no excuse. You know, yesterday in this very sanctuary, we bid a farewell to one of our own. And if you were present at that memorial service yesterday, you no doubt heard of a different path described by John in the book of Revelation. He was in exile on the Isle of Patmos, and he had a vision given to him by Jesus, and he wrote it down for us because it described the other path. He says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them as their God, and they will be his peoples. And God himself will be with them, and he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away.' And the one who was seated on the throne said, 'See, I'm making all things new.' Also, he said, 'Write this, for these words are trustworthy and true.' And then he said to me, 'It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water as a gift from the spring of the water of life. And those who conquer will inherit these things, and I will be their God, and they will be my children.'" That's a different path entirely. Destruction for those who insist on not believing, and new creation. Life in the presence of the one true God for those who do believe. You would think it would be a no-brainer as to which choice people would make. And still, see, John here speaks of a glorious new creation, a new heaven, a new earth, a new Jerusalem, a bright new future for God's people. And he paints this picture of hope for God's people. The same people who are held against their will through the bondage of sin and death on their lives in this human condition that we're all living in, those same people have hope in their future. Moving from years of captivity, years of bondage, years of suffering, years of darkness and fear into freedom and peace and light. And so there's a long column of people marching from captivity into freedom with their eyes on Jesus. They march from captivity to freedom and liberty. And so we see there are two groups of people in the world today, each group moving in opposite directions, one towards freedom and one towards bondage. How does that speak to us today? All around the world, there have been two groups of people marching in opposite directions. You've seen them. You've experienced them. And as we watch them, we have to wonder, do they think they're marching toward freedom? aren't they really marching toward captivity? See, there are people who desire to align themselves with God's word and God's will, and then there are those who desire to impose their own will on God's word and on God's people. And so on both sides, we have uncertainty, which produces anger and frustration and division. We see it. We feel it. In our country today, we have columns of people moving away from one another and at the same time colliding with one another in a collision of wills, of ideologies, of priorities. And here's the thing, church, even in the church, we see professing Christians. I hope, turn to your neighbor and say, I hope you're listening. Even in the church, we see professing Christians compartmentalizing their lives. What do you mean by that, Pastor? Well, some folks, they have their church life in this compartment. They have their work life in this compartment. They have a compartment over here for politics. Don't talk about politics. They have one for this thing and one for that thing, and they have all these little compartments. But Scripture tells us that it doesn't work that way. You have to choose a column in which to march. You can't be in between columns. You can't scoot in and around through the different rows as people march. You have to choose this day whom you will serve. You have to either be all in for Jesus or not in at all. There's no partially in for Jesus. There is no separation between Jesus and anything. It's either all Jesus or no Jesus. There's no gray area left to us in Scripture. Period. End of story. Now, this is something I am deeply passionate about because, as it is my responsibility to equip the saints, those that are in the sanctuary and those that are catching us around the world online, we're up to 670 cities in 60 plus countries that are tuning in to this little sanctuary in Splendora, Texas. You think some of them are hungry for the truth? You're either all in or you're not in at all. I wasn't going to talk about this, but then the Holy Spirit said, oh, yeah, you are. Let me explain something about where we are in this country. There is a column of people who have bought into the lie from the pit of hell that bodily autonomy is an individual choice. Why do I say a lie from the pit of hell? Because Satan and his demons have appropriated the language of our Savior Jesus to support an idea that individuals have the right to say, this is my body. And there's a whole platform of people who, whether they admit it or not, or whether they intentionally mean to or not, support that platform. Now, those words were not chosen by that industry bent on taking the life of God's innocent unborn? No, Satan chose that specifically because abortion is Satan's sacrament. Right down to the liturgy. This is my body, my choice. Jesus' sacrament uses that same language. I wonder who said it first. This is my body given for you. This is my blood poured out for you. The language of your salvation has been hijacked by the devil for his sacrament. And there's a whole party of people, a whole column of people. And they might compartmentalize and say, I don't support that. Well, do you? This isn't political. We, the church, have got to stand for something, because if we don't stand for something, we will fall for anything and everything. You have to choose a column to march in. And it needs to be the one that leads to eternal life with Jesus. Don't buy into the Satan sacrament. Don't do it. It is a sure path to hell. And I say that with as much love as I can muster, because we've gotten really good at compartmentalizing so much so that we don't realize what it is we do, what it is we support. You're either all in for Jesus or you're not in at all. Now, the way we treat people who think differently is important. Just because somebody disagrees with you, even when we see that it's scripturally wrong, we can still speak the truth in love. Right? We're the church. We have that ability. Beating people over the head with the Bible never seems to work, does it? Might make us feel a little better, but it never seems to work. Why? Because how can you be influenced or changed by something that you're not following anyway? Now, there's got to be a better way. I was preparing for this message, and once again, I was preparing myself for the possibility that some people might get offended and walk out. I apologize for that, but I don't apologize for the message, which comes from Scripture and is inspired by the Holy Spirit. And if it makes someone uncomfortable, that's Holy Spirit conviction. And you need to examine why it is that you are uncomfortable. Because the Holy Spirit's not wrong. And if the Holy Spirit's not wrong, it must be something within me that's feeling convicted. But how we treat people is important. And so I was preparing for this message and I was looking through notes, and it's not the first time I've preached on this particular passage of Scripture from Mark. And I came across some notes that Angela had written in her journal that she gave to me. I didn't go nosing through her journal. That's not a good idea. She wrote some thoughts down and she gave them to me last time I preached on this. It's been about 3 years or so. And she was processing what was going on in the world. You see, this is, like I said last time, this is an ancient war. This is just the latest battle in the ancient war. She identified the fear that people are experiencing as a fear of the unknown. I think that's a good observation. Fear of the unknown. The unknown's a very scary place, she writes. There's no doubt about that. But when you are facing scary situations, don't you find comfort in knowing that you're not alone? And no one is alone in this, because we have God, our Savior, and we have one another, our church family. She says, you know, I love and I pray for all of my family and friends, especially my church friends. That's not ever going to change based on where you are in your faith or your beliefs, my hope and faith in God. Takes up residence in my heart, and for me, that doesn't change with the prevailing culture. Oh, I wish I'd written that. What we believe doesn't change with the prevailing culture. If we're one of those marching toward captivity, it's the bondage and the fear that are going to hold us there. Fear comes when we place our hope and faith in fallible humanity rather than the infallible God of the universe. Jesus tells us to trust in Him. Because when we trust in Jesus, no matter what happens, nothing can touch us because our souls are protected from the fiery darts of the evil one. A little trust in something great like Jesus is far better than great trust in something or someone less than Jesus. And so, for those people that are marching the wrong direction, redirect your trust and the fear of the unknown will disappear. Now, we can preach, and we will continue to preach, and still there will be those that continue the march toward captivity. There are some who just want it all their way, even with the chaos and the anarchy. My way or the highway. For those people, we just have to pray. And then there are some who just need a little reassurance to help dispel the fear. And we, the church, can be the balm to those who are in need of reassurance, by extending to them the love of Jesus who dwells in our hearts. Yes, how you treat people matters. But we never compromise our biblical principles in that process. Love your enemies. That doesn't mean there aren't consequences for their actions. We have to remember that in the midst of those marching to freedom, there is God. And for those marching toward captivity, there is still available to them the hope of Christ and His redemption. No one is totally lost until Jesus appears on the clouds. There's still time. And so we need to extend our hands in friendship and invite those in who differ from us before it's too late. And so we pray a simple prayer for all of those who are marching in one direction or another. And we say, O God, for the hungry and the overfed, may we all have enough. For those who mourn and those who mock, may we all laugh someday together. For the victims and the oppressors, may we learn to share power wisely. For the peacemakers and the warmongers, may clear truth and stern love lead us to harmony. For those who are silenced, and for the propagandists who spread lies. May we all speak words of truth. For the unemployed and the overworked, may our impression on the earth be kindly and creative. For the troubled and for the sleek, may we live together as wounded healers. For the homeless and for the cosseted, may our homes be simple and warm and welcoming. For the vibrant and the dying, may we all die to live. And for the free and those in bondage, may we all see God in our midst. And we pray this humbly, with as much Christ-like love as we can muster. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you for listening to today's podcast. Come back again next week for a new message. And until then, may God bless you and keep you.